The spirit of generosity. Let's turn to Psalm 34, verse 3 to 10. We know this portion of scripture so well. Psalm 34, 3 to 10. I believe that this is the foundation that I want to lay my whole sermon on this morning. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, church, that's my testimony right there. Is that how you're feeling this morning? This poor man cried, and guess what? The Lord heard him. Can you give me testimony? The Lord heard him and delivered him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing, any blessing, anything that the Lord has for each one of us. If we seek him, church, we will find him. That portion of scripture is a declaration of God's goodness and his kindness. And I've been thinking a lot over recent months about the kindness of God in my life and the goodness of God in my home and family. But I've also been thinking a lot about heart attitude. Specifically, generosity of spirit, that attitude of kindness, that spirit within us of kindness, what that looks like in each one of our lives, what it means to each one of us as we live each day for his glory. You see, in this current climate, there's a whole lot of fear. There's a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, job losses, credit crunch, this Brexit. People think, people meditate, they question, am I going to have enough? Am I going to be in lack? Am I going to be able to pay the bills and keep home and family together? What's it going to be like for me? I'm worried, I'm anxious about all that's going out there in the climate, in this community, in this nation. And church, how people react to that climate is going to determine how they live their lives every moment of every day. Because church, it's heart attitude. It's going to affect not just how we feel about our money and our finances. It's going to affect every layer, every aspect of our living. And we need to grasp this. Because what I will say is that people who aren't generous, people who are mean and tight with money, you look at their lives and they are selfish and mean and tight about every other aspect of their lives. You look at them, you know people like that, and so do I. They're selfish and mean with their words. with their actions. They don't want to share their gifts, their strengths, their abilities. It's all about me, and my wee house, and my wee family, and all that I want to do, because it's all mine. They have a meanness of spirit. And that's the exact opposite to a generosity of spirit. Verse 8 declares, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Go on, put your toe in the water. Go taste if God is not good and kind and generous. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Because, church, I have observed in life that people that have that faith and that trust in God and believe and trust in the promises of God and stand on the promises of God and believe that he is Jehovah Jireh, their provider, El Shaddai, the God of plenty. When they really trust and believe in that, they have a generosity of spirit. Because they trust God. And out of that, there is a pouring that empowers them to give and to share with every ounce of their being. Trusting God with their homes and their lives and their families and their bank balance. Because, church, they have caught the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 37, verse 25, turn to it 1 minute. It's just one portion of scripture. So many of you know it. This is David. "I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread." What's David saying? Look, I've lived my life. I have a bit of experience here. And I'll tell you what I've learned about God as I've trusted in him, as I've placed my faith in him. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, those in right standing with God, nor their seed, their children, their families begging for bread. I was reared on that scripture. My mum and dad lived their lives on that scripture. Mum and dad didn't have a whole lot of money, but they learned how to give and to trust God with their marriage and their home and their bills and Michael and Yvonne. We'd lovely birthdays, beautiful Christmases. Every day there was blessing, not because mum and dad were rich, but because they had proved that time and time again as they came here, blood, sweat and tears, to build this church. They gave with every ounce of their being. They gave emotionally. They gave spiritually. They gave financially. And they trusted. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Because they had learned, and it's rubbed off on me as well, that when you give, and give in good measure, it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And church, those are not my words. It's the Word of God. And Jonathan and I have proved that in 31 years of marriage. Because the size and the measure of our kindness and our generosity, the giving in every way and every aspect, is directly related and linked to the size and the measure of our faith and trust in God. I'm going to say that again. The size and the measure of your generosity and mine is directly linked to the size and the faith and the size and the measure of our faith in God. And just as there are different levels of faith, there are different levels of generosity. How much we are willing to give of ourselves. It's not all about money. It's about everything, every aspect. How much we're willing to give in time, in energy, in faithfulness, in commitment, in our giftings and in our abilities. Because I believe that there are four types of heart attitude that I want to share with you this morning. And I'll be honest, all of us, me included, are in this. This is a reflection of all of us. This is the Word of God. The first level I'm going to call the bag level. And I'll be honest with you, in truth, the bag level is the meanest, most selfish level that we can be on. Turn to Haggai 1. Haggai 1, verse 5 to 7. If you're looking for Haggai, go to the book of Matthew and go back three or four books and you'll find it. Haggai 1. It's just after Zephaniah. Listen to this. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Do you see when God speaks that through his word to me, I sit up and take notice. Because God's saying, right, I'm the Lord God Almighty. This is me speaking, not man. I want you to start and consider your ways, not someone else's ways. Don't sit this morning going, eh, that's for him, four pews back. See her to the right, see him to the left. He needs that. Let's not get pharisaical today. Consider your ways. Consider my ways. Ye have sown much and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And ye that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Church, that's powerful. That is really, really strong language. Because God is speaking through this old prophet Haggai. And he's saying, you're my people, but I need you to sit up and take notice here. Because you have a heart attitude problem. I have given you plenty. I know what I have given my people to live on. I have given you seed to sow. And you know, scripture says he gives seed to the sower. And how do sowers sow? They don't sow this way. They sow that way. It's out the way, church. When God gives to us, we sow right across other people's lives. And God is saying, I've given you seed to sow. But the harvest's small. I've given you food on your table, but you're hungry. I've given you something to drink, but you're dry. Clothes to wear, but you're cold. You have no comfort, no peace. You've got wages because I gave you that money. And it's like you put everything in your life in a bag that I have given you. And it's like a bag with holes. It's selfish. It's me and mine. It's all about my family, my home, my holiday, my car. And God said, it ain't working for you. You're not happy. It's a joyless, not blessed existence. You're stuffing everything into a bag, trying to contain it, holding on to it, and you lose it all. You lose my goodness. You lose my kindness. You lose my blessing. You're always needing more and more and more. And God's saying, you consider your ways. The bit you do have, you keep. The seed I give you, you keep. No prosperity, no abundance. You're always in lack. Check your heart. It's like a bag with holes. And I have seen so-called believers live like that. They've lovely homes, cars at the door, beautiful clothes, holidays, and they are in want and lack, church. They never have enough. There's a discontentment, and it's because they're selfish. They just take, take, take. They don't seem to realize that you have to give as well as take. Consider your ways. And God is saying, I want to release you from that bag mentality full of holes. That place where there is lack and no joy and no blessing, even for what you do have. I want to bring you into a new level, another level, and it's called the barrel level. Turn to 1 Kings 17. We know this scripture so well. 1 Kings 17, verse 10 to 16. And so Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Church, you're getting it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says today. You're getting this. You see, here is a woman. It's not just a woman, it's a mummy with a wee son. She's neither inner nor honor. She's starving to death. She doesn't know what to do. She's in a spirit of fear. She knows that she's got this tiny scrapings of meal in the bottom of a barrel. She's got a few drops of oil in the cruse, a little jug. And she knows once she mixes that with her two miserable sticks to heat the potion, she's dead and her wee boy's dead. But church, because she was willing, can we get this? Because she was willing to come and to listen to the voice of God through the prophet Elijah, and not just listen, but be a doer of God's word. When God said, woman, dig deep. I know you're starving, hungry. I see your wee boy. I know the season of famine you're in, but I want you to dig deep, to let go of your fear for tomorrow and trust God. Trust me and give to me out of that minuscule scrapings at the bottom of your barrel. And church, Almighty God made sure that she had miraculous provision for the rest of that famine season. There was enough every single day. And if people are going to move from the selfish bag with holes level into the barrel level, they're going to have to just shake off fear and begin to trust God. Let go of meanness and selfishness and fearful ways. And as you do that and give out, even in leanness or in times of plenty, God will come. And he will give you exactly what you have need of. And God is looking for people like that. Ballymoney Church of God has been built on that truth. We've gone through so many building projects over 70 years. Projects, events, going into the bank manager to ask for a loan. Debts that needed paying off. But in the midst of that, even when we were in seasons of lack and really counting pennies, we always went to the barrel and took out and gave unto the Lord. Always, church. We never kept it all with the attitude, well, we're in debt, we need it all. We gave to foreign missions. We gave to people, home missions. We gave over 20,000 last year. We're still paying off bank loans. But God sees the spirit of that. And that's why when we begin to trust God and have faith in God corporately and personally and walk in obedience like the widow did with our tithing, with our offerings, and not just saying, well, I need that for my holiday. I'll give God his bit when I get a bit more money. But actually have enough faith to say, no, God, I'm not going to rob you of what's rightly yours. 10% of all that you give me, I give to you because I trust you. Oh, taste and see. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord. And when we do that, when we give sacrificially, even when we don't feel like a church, even in times of famine in our homes and lives, and we give out with kindness, words of love, deeds of love, and we continue to just be generous in every way, that is enough that God will come and give you enough for every day of your life. You see, the bag level isn't enough. The barrel level is just enough. That's all that widow had. But this is where it gets exciting because there's another level, and I love this. I'm going to call it the basket level of generosity. And this works because I've lived this and proved this because it's more than enough. In Mark 6, the story of the young lad, I love it. Some of you kids know it from Sunday school. He's sitting on a hill and he's listening to the master. Jesus is preaching, speaking words of life, words of truth. Thousands of people over all the wee hills. Jesus up there preaching his heart out. And the people are moved. Who is this man? These are words of life and power. And they're sitting on those hillsides for hours. But the disciples begin to become concerned. And they go to Jesus and they say, these people have been here all day. Should we send them to the towns and the villages? They're hungry. But if we send them, will it get dark? What will we do, Jesus? We don't have food. These people need feeding. And one little lad, not an adult, a young boy, church, it would put you to shame. He looks at his wee basket, two fish, 5 wee loaves, all prepared for the day. And in his heart, something moves, that spirit of generosity. How can I sit on a hillside with all these thousands of people hungry? How can I sit with my wee basket and eat what I have prepared? And he gets up and he goes to Jesus. And he says, "Sir, I've 5 loaves, I've 2 fish. I'm feeling silly, I know I'm only a young lad. But here, take it. It's yours. Jesus, I don't know what you can do with such a paltry offering, but it's all that I have to give. And so I'll give it, Jesus." And Jesus took it, church, and he blessed it. Because it came from a spirit of generosity, he blessed it. He poured his rich anointing all over it. And it fed 5,000 people. And you know, when they had finished eating, there were baskets to spare. There was an abundance. There was an overflow. Because that young lad was willing. Not like the widow who went to her barrel and scraped together and gave a little unto the Lord, but he came with a basket and he gave his all, church. And God blessed it. He didn't just walk in obedience with his little 10%. He went the extra mile and he gave his everything and he trusted his Jesus to make a way. And people, when we are willing to freely give unto the Lord with that kind of attitude, everything we say, everything we do, every word, every action, all that we have, when we're willing to hold loosely in our hands what God has given to us so that we can say, "Do you know what, Lord? I want to give that. I want to give that sacrificially. I want to give that whole day, that whole week. I want to give my time and my energy. God, I'm sold out." When you're willing to do that, God sees that spirit of generosity. And God blesses abundantly with a spiritual overflow, church, that doesn't just touch you and your home and your family. It can touch thousands like those people on the hillside because of where it comes from within you and within me. You know, next week it will be 11 years since Jonathan and I stood on this platform to give our lives to God in ministry full time. And you know, church, I look back at that evening. It was wonderful. It was glorious. It was totally saturated. The church was packed right out to the foyer. Everybody was celebrating the goodness of God. And we stood here, looking up at my father, hand in hand, promising before the congregation and before God that we would do our best for his glory. But we just didn't come by ourselves. We came with 2 baskets. And you know, church, if I'm honest, in those baskets was really just 2 wee fish and 5 loaves. And yes, there were people, and I'm sure on the hillside, people laughed at that young lad because there were people who sneered and mocked us because all they could see were our baskets, what was in them. Jonathan, sure, he's rubbish. How's he going to lead anything? Her, sure, she can't preach. Sure, how's she going to do anything? And there are people who will look at what you give to God when you give your everything, your all. And they will sneer. And they will mock at your two fish and your five loaves. But God sees your heart when you give your everything. And church, over the 11 years, I am not worthy of what God has done in our lives, in our home, in our marriage, in this church. The blessing and the abundance that he has poured out in our lives. Oh, because we're willing to come with two fish and five loaves. But when we do that, and as we did that, he kept us and he blessed us and he protected us and he vindicated us when lies and everything got landed on our plates, because God saw the spirit of generosity that ultimately wasn't human. It came from him in the first place. No matter how puny and pitiful your wee basket looks, what God has given to you, church, his word works. God's word works when we give liberally and sacrificially and generously with our money, with our time, with our faithfulness, with our commitment, with our attitude in everything we do, when we are willing to go with our last cup of water. I see it in Girls Brigade as chaplain. Woman who give their last cup of water to wee girls, because some of them, that's the only Jesus they're going to see. And they go home exhausted. And there are times that I've given my last cup of water and I go to bed exhausted. But do you see the next morning? There is an abundance. There is an overflow, because God has caught the generosity and he gets the glory. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. But you know, there's a final level and it's bigger again. It's called the barn level and it's huge, absolutely huge. And it's for people who are totally sold out for God. They have such an expansive spirit of generosity. I love to be around people like that. And it wouldn't matter what God gave them. That's the honest truth. Whether it was £1,000 or £1,000,000, doesn't matter to them. It's all God's. And it's like the blessing of the Lord flows into them, because God can entrust that it'll flow back out again to others to be a blessing for his glory. Because those people know that there's more. They're not holding on to it. Oh, a better hope. No, they let it flow out because they know God's going to bring more in. Do you know what they're like? Spiritual conduits. It's like the blessing just goes over them, in them, out of them. And God will test us to see if he can trust us with that kind of blessing. I can remember when we had businesses before we came into ministry. And you know, we talked about opening a whole chain of card shops and, oh, look what God did. Look at the money. Look at the blessing. Church, how many sofas can I sit on? How many times can I change my curtains in my living room? Come on, let's get honest here. We sat down together and I says, you know, God's not just given this money to give us more sofas, bigger house, you know, on and on and on, me, 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 me. God is doing something here, blessed to be a blessing. And God will test us in the small things. Be faithful in the small, and then he'll make you ruler over much. Just like Joseph. God tested him in the prison to see if Joseph was all talk and all praise when things were good, but oh, prison, why'd you put me here, Lord? No. In God, he trusted. He tested Joseph in the palace to see with all the wealth and pomp and ceremony, would he get too big for his boots? And once God had Joseph in a place that was sanctified, where he could entrust Joseph at the barn level. Do you know why I call it the barn level? Because scripture tells us that Joseph just kept building barns for all this grain. They were planting and reaping and planting and reaping. So much crop, so much blessing. And Joseph didn't keep it all for himself. Well, that'll set my family up for the rest of their lives. Well, I might give a wee bit to the town, you know, make me popular. No. The Bible says he built barn after barn after barn. And when famine came, he didn't just feed his home, his family, the palace and the community. He fed a nation. Because God could entrust him with that kind of wealth. There are people who can live like that, who basically live in the motto, it's not about me, it's all about him. God looks after me, I'm prospered, I'm in blessing. It's all about God. I don't care what God gives me, it's going back to him. Because I trust him for my family. My seed will not beg for bread. Giving is more important than getting. And not everybody can live like that, church. But God's speaking to people here today who want to come up to a new level in that spirit of generosity with all that they have. I know a woman who really needed a car. Really needed a car. She didn't want a fancy car. She just needed four wheels. Otherwise, her life was going to stop. And she said to God, God, if you can make a way that you can get me four wheels and a steering wheel, I promise you, I will use that car to be a blessing to others. And she was true to her word. And God entrusted her with a car. And you see today, that car drives people everywhere. Everywhere. Because she has that kind of attitude of generosity. She has never forgotten the goodness of God in her life. But church, what level of faith, what level of generosity are we at this morning? Don't look at others. I look at myself. You look at yourself. Search me, O God. Know my heart. All the blessing, everything that God has given to Jonathan and I. Search me, God. Am I walking in your way? Am I listening for your voice? When you tell me to give that there, to go that way, when you ask me to do those things, am I doing it immediately? Because that's what this church is built on. Because the church, it's people. And we have got to grasp this. If we are going to prosper and be in blessing, both personally as well as corporately, church, are we at the bag level with holes? We have everything. We've clothes, but we're cold. We've food, but we're hungry. We've something to drink, but we're dry. We've wages, but it's like we put them in a bag and all just leaks away. Haven't enough to pay the bills because in the first place, we weren't obedient to God. Selfish. Mean. Or are we the barrel? Okay, Lord. I'll be like the widow. I'll scrape a little and I'll give you the 10% that you gave me. But no more. That will keep me. That's just enough for each and every day. Or are we the basket level? Where we're willing to say, God, you gave me it all. My home, my car, my money, my health, my work, everything I do. Lord, it's all yours anyway. The clothes I wear. You've blessed me. Everything I have, Lord. The very air that I breathe, my lungs, my heartbeat. Lord, it's all yours. Are you willing to come with your five loaves and two fish and say, oh God, I give you my all. Will you take it and bless it? Because I don't just want to live in blessing and abundance. I want to do that for others. I want to have such an overflow in my home that I can go out and be a blessing to people that I meet. Or are we the barn level where God can entrust us with anything? Anything. Half a pound or half a million. Half an acre or 5 acres. Doesn't matter to me. It's yours, God. Where are our hearts this morning, church? What can God trust each one of us with? Bag, barrel, basket, barn. Which one are we? I want to finish with 3 John verse 2 because it sums up everything that I've shared with you this morning. Beloved, I wish above all things. I look at life, I see what you're doing, I know where you're going, but above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now that word health isn't just physical health. We've got the old Adamic flesh. He means health of mind, body, spirit, health marriage, health families, healthy home, healthy speech, healthy actions, that we will be in health even as our souls prosper. And God is speaking to us this morning through his word that we are to take his word home with us today. Dwell on it and consider our ways. Let's stand. My Jesus. You know, church, I want the word of God to speak to my life because I know there are things that I can come up higher, go into a new level of blessing with God when I'm willing to pay the sacrifice to do that. I've proved that. The pastors have proved that. That when we give liberally, God gives liberally back. Amen. In every way. But I want us to finish with a beautiful new chorus. I was teaching at a prayer meeting on Tuesday night. It's in the key of E flat into F into G. And it simply says, word of God, speak. And that's what I wanted to do this morning. What I have shared, what God has given to me, that will speak. That I'll not just hear it and forget, but I'll actually let God speak into the very depths of my being. Because I know there's more for me. I know there's more for you. I know there's more for this church. When we can come into that attitude and spirit of generosity, let's sing this together. I know the prayer meeting ones were singing it and really got on to it.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.